P and O, the first in a series of six short stories by Somerset Maugham, dramatised for radio by David Buck, with Hannah Gordon as Mrs. Hamlin. P and O.
Berthed Singapore during the night. The next morning, some passengers departed, some arrived. Cargo was loaded and unloaded, the usual routine at a port of call. Mrs. Hamlin did not leave the ship. She had a difficult letter to write.
My dear, though why I should still call you this, I cannot say. I am at Singapore. I am in my cabin on the liner. The very same P&O liner, I believe, on which I first came east 20 years ago, as your wife. The events of the past few weeks have all happened so fast they seem like a nightmare. But most bad dreams disperse as one wakes, while mine does not. You have fallen in love, you say, with another woman. And that woman is, or was, my best friend, my oldest friend. Older than I by how many years? 7, 8? Why should that hurt so much? Humiliate me so much? I don't know. All I know is this. I have lost, at one stroke, my husband, my friend, and my self-respect. All that remains is bitterness. You have asked me for a divorce. Heaven knows I have grounds enough. But understand this. I shall never, never grant you this. Live with your woman, if you like. I shan't stop you. But, oh, no, this won't do at all. It's not what I must write. Oh, dear, let's see. My only weapon left is my bitterness. I shall never grant you a divorce, though I have...
Mrs. Hamlin will not finish her letter in time to post it before departure. The liner is slowly clearing the bay of the harbour. Passengers line the rail. Among them, the redoubtable Mrs. Mallet, with the ship's young surgeon.
Well, Doctor, I've travelled on this line for 35 years, and I've never heard of such a thing before. Really?
Times change, Mrs. Mallet.
Ah, there's Mrs. Hamlin. Mrs. Hamlin!
Yes?
Mrs. Hamlin, the Doctor and I were just discussing the captain's proposal that we should invite the second-class passengers to our dance on Christmas Day.
It was only a suggestion, Mrs.
Well, Mallet. Suggestions have a way of becoming facts, Doctor. Well, Mrs. Hamlin, well, don't you think it's a ridiculous idea?
Ridiculous?
Well, surely you see they wouldn't be happy, people like that, in the first-class saloon.
I don't really have any opinions on the subject.
Oh.
I think I'll take a turn or two round the deck. I have a headache coming on. Please excuse me.
Of course, Mrs. Hamlin. Perhaps I ought to see if I can help.
Oh, don't trouble yourself, Doctor. She hasn't got a headache. She just wanted to get away. Some people simply will not commit themselves to anything.
Mrs. Mallet was right, to a point. No, Mrs. Hamlin did not have a headache. The letter, yet unwritten, was still bothering her.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
It was my fault. I wasn't looking where I was going.
Oh, neither was I. The view is very hypnotic. Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, it is.
I suppose that's the coast of Sumatra, isn't it?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, as if a magician had conjured it out of the dark sea.
You're Irish, aren't you?
Oh, I can't disguise the brogue then, even after 25 years away.
Oh, it's not only the accent. You look Irish.
Really? Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Would you care for a cigarette?
Thank you. Twenty-five years is a long time.
I was a rubber planter in Malaya. Selatan, the last 10 years.
Are you going home on leave?
I'm going home for good. I've no family, you know, but I have roots, and Galway's where they are. I shall buy a little house there, and a motor car.
How nice.
I may even get married, if anyone will have me. I'll breed horses, and hunt a little. Get myself fit again. Lose a bit of this weight.
You're a big man.
Well, that's the last of your view, I'm afraid.
Yes.
We shan't see land again till... Oh, sorry. Please excuse me.
Doctor! Oh, Doctor, just one moment, if you please.
Oh, don't think there's a place on this ship where you can't hear that woman's voice. She's always got some bee in her bonnet, Mrs. Mallet. Now she wants the second-class passengers excluded from our Christmas dance.
Yes, I know. She's been on to me about it.
Has she? What did you say?
I said... Oh, dear, I'm sorry. No, I said, my best friend in the world is a second-class passenger on this vessel. That shut her up.
That was very clever. Is it true?
Oh, yes. He's the man who used to be engineer on the plantation. A rough diamond, you know, a real Cockney sparrow. But I think he's as fit to go to the party as I am. Besides, there's no danger he'd be there, because I'm going to make him so drunk on Christmas Day that by 6 o'clock he'll be fit for nothing but to be put to bed.
You've got hiccups.
Evidently.
Ah, you must drink a glass of water upside down.
How do you do that?
Well, like this.
But if you don't mind, I think I'll stick with the hiccups.
I must go in. I'm really not dressed for the deck.
I'll see you perhaps at dinner.
Yes. Oh, you don't play bridge by any chance, do you? We usually play a few rubbers after coffee.
I don't, I'm afraid. But I'm prepared to learn.
Get rid of those hiccups first. You'll find they're a hindrance.
You're very silent, Mrs. Hamlin.
Am I? I'm sorry.
You've not been yourself since Singapore. 2 days is a long time to be in the dumps.
I am not in the dumps, Mrs. Dallas.
Will you look at those two?
Which two?
Linsell's wife and the surgeon. Haven't you noticed them flirting? They never stop. The old man must be blind.
Look, just look.
Yes. Oh. Well, it's none of our affair, is it? I saw you talking to Mr. Gallagher the other morning.
Mr. Gallagher?
Well, the big Irishman. Came aboard at Singapore.
Oh, is that his name? Gallagher? Yes, we talked a little.
Well, haven't you heard? He's ill.
What's the matter with him?
Hiccups.
Hiccups? Hiccups don't make one ill, do they?
Well, the surgeon's rather worried. You'd never think it to look at him now, flirting with Linsell's wife.
Why worried?
Well, he's tried all sorts of things, but he can't stop them. Silly, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose that's exactly what it is. There's something rather ludicrous about hiccups. Such a silly word to begin with.
Yes. Just look at those two, really.
All the same, if he's no better tomorrow, perhaps I should pay him a visit. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
I was just on my way to see your patient, Mr. Gallagher, if that's allowed, of course.
Yes, he'd appreciate a visit, I'm sure, but it must be brief. Oh, he's not in his cabin. I moved him to the ship's hospital.
Oh, is he bad?
Very bad, I'm afraid.
With hiccups?
He can't keep his food down. Can't sleep. He's fearfully exhausted. I've tried everything I can think of.
Oh, dear.
Unless I can stop them soon, I don't know what will happen.
But he's such a strong man, Doctor. So full of vitality.
You'll hardly recognize him now. Come in.
I'm sorry to see you like this, Mr. Gallagher.
I shan't die of it. I shall reach the green shores of Erin, all right. Eh, Doctor?
Of course you will.
I just came to let you know that we're all thinking of you and wishing you well.
That's very kind of you.
And if there's anything I can do, if you'd like me to read to you or to write any letters...
No, no. Thank you. Not for the moment.
I don't think you should stay any longer, Mrs. Hamlin, if you don't mind.
Oh, of course. Well, I must go. Goodbye, then, Mr. Gallagher.
Goodbye. Goodbye. For now.
Oh, Doctor, it's terrible to see him like this.
I'm doing all I can. Look, do you mind if I leave you here? I have some other patients I ought to take a look at. Mostly suffering from seasickness, I admit, but there's a nasty case of appendicitis.
Please, Doctor, don't let me take you from your work. Poor Mr. Gallagher.
Miss...
Yes?
Excuse me, miss. Could I have a word with you?
Yes.
You won't know me. I'm not in first. Price is the name. Sam Price. I'm Mr. Gallagher's engineer.
Of course, he told me about you.
Do you mind if I join you for a moment?
No.
I don't know exactly how to begin. I mean, I've been with Mr. Gallagher 4 years now. A better gentleman you couldn't find in a week of Sundays. I don't like it, miss, and that's the truth.
What don't you like, Mr. Price?
Well, if you ask me, he's for it, and the doc don't know it. I told him, but he won't listen to a word I say.
You mustn't be too depressed, Mr. Price. Of course the doctor's young, but I think he's quite clever. And people don't die of hiccups, you know.
No, I know, miss, but...
I'm sure Mr. Gallagher will be all right in a day or two.
Do you know when it come on?
Well, yes, I was with him, as it happens.
Just as we was out of sight of land. Right, miss?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's exactly when it was.
Yeah. She said he'd never see his home.
What do you mean?
Well, my belief is, miss, it's a spell been put on him, if you understand what I mean. Medicine's not going to do him no good. You don't know Malay women like what I do.
Oh, come, Mr. Price, you're talking nonsense.
Yeah, that's what the doc said when I told him. But you mark my words. He'll die before we see land again.
But why should anyone cast a spell on Mr. Gallagher?
Well,
why?
It's a bit awkward speaking of it to a lady.
If it's important, tell me.
Well, Mr. Gallagher's lived a long time up country, if you understand what I mean, and of course it's lonely there. Well, you know what men are, miss.
Mr. Price, I have been married for 20 years.
Oh, I beg pardon, miss. Ma'am. Well, the fact is, he had a Malay girl living with him.
Oh.
Well, I don't know how long. 10, 12 years, maybe. Well, when he made up his mind to come home for good, he had to tell her, of course.
And?
Well, she didn't say nothing. I mean, she just sat there. He thought she'd carry on no end, but she didn't. Of course, he saw to it that she was well provided for, all right. Give her a little house for herself, and he fixed things so that so much would be paid to her every month. He wasn't mean, I say that for him. She must have known all along he'd be going home sometime. That's strange, though. She didn't cry or nothing. When he packed up all his things and sent them off, She just sat there and watched them go. She never said a word. And when it was time for him to go and catch the boat, she just kept on sitting there, on the steps of the bungalow. She just looked, said nothing.
Nothing?
Mr. Gallagher, he wanted to say goodbye to her proper-like, same as anyone would. And would you believe it, miss? She never even moved. Aren't you going to say goodbye to me, he said. A rare, funny look come over her face. Do you know what she says? You go, she says. But I tell you that you'll never come to your own country. When the land sinks into the sea, death will come upon you. And before them as goes with you sees the land again, death will have took you.
How extraordinary.
I was there. I heard her say it. Give me a proper turn.
What did Mr. Gallagher say?
Oh, well, you know what he is. He just laughed. It's God's truth, I'm telling you, miss.
Oh, I'm not doubting your word, Mr. Price. What was she like, this girl?
Like? Well, to my way of thinking, them Malay women are all pretty much the same. Of course, she wasn't so young anymore. And you know what they are, them natives. They run to fat, something terrible.
She was fat?
Well, Mr. Gallagher was always one to do himself well, if you understand what I mean.
No, I don't. Look, it's perfectly absurd, Mr. Price. Fat women can't throw spells on people who are 1,000 miles away.
Oh, you can laugh, miss. But unless something's done, you mark my word, the governor's for it. And like I said, medicine's not going to save him. Not white man's medicine.
Please, pull yourself together, Mr. Price. This fat lady had no particular grievance against Mr. Gallagher. As things are done in the East, he seems to have treated her very well. Why should she wish to do him any harm?
We don't know how they look at things. Why, a man can live there for 20 years with one of them natives, and do you think he knows what's going on in that black heart of hers? Nah, not him.
But even if she felt angry with him, even if she did hate him, want to kill him, what could she do? There's no poison that could start working after 6 or 7 days.
I never said it was poison. It's magic what's killing him.
What?
Yeah, I've spoken to one of them Lascars on board. Lascars or Chinese. It's only magic what'll save the governor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Price, but I really am not going to believe in a magic spell, you know.
Oh. If you lived in the East long, miss?
20 years.
Well, if you can say what they can do and what they can't, it's more than I can. God, I'm fed up with a bloody place. It's got on my nerves, that's what it is. We're no match for them, us white men. And it's a fact, miss. Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll go and have a tiddly. I've got the jumps.
Oh, yes, and I suppose I shall have a nice cup of tea.
Oh, you're still here, Mrs. Hanlon?
Yes. I ran into Mr. Price.
He's been telling you all that voodoo nonsense, has he?
Yes.
It's too bad him spreading that sort of talk about.
Oh, I'll be as silent as the grave, I promise you, Doctor.
Oh, if only there was something I could do for the poor blighter. It's rotten luck for me. The sort of case one might never come across in the whole of one's practice.
I'm sure no one blames you, Doctor.
I radioed the surgeon of the Japanese boat that passed by us yesterday. He advised adrenaline. Hmm? How the devil does he expect me to have adrenaline in the middle of the Indian Ocean? Hmm?
Gallagher's worse, I hear.
Well, he's certainly no better.
You've seen him?
I see him every day, Mrs. Mallard.
Oh, I should go too, I suppose. I hardly knew the man. In fact, he was rather rude to me. Oh, but of
Mrs.
course.
Mallard, I think that he doesn't need any more visitors. I don't think he'd like anyone else to see him, as he is now. How are you today, Mr. Gallagher?
Getting along, Mrs. Hamlin. All right. When we get out of this confounded heat.
Yes, it is oppressive.
Look forward to a swim in the Atlantic. I would give anything for a good long swim. I want to feel the cold, grey sea of Galway beating against my chest.
Goodbye, Mr. Gallagher.
Miss?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Price.
He's no better, is he?
No, he's not.
The captain sent for me yesterday. Give me a right talking to.
What about?
He said he wouldn't have any more of this magic with them Lascars. He said it was frightening the passengers and I'd better keep a watch on me tongue or I'd have him to reckon with. But it ain't my doing. I never said a word except to you and the doc.
It's all over the ship.
Yeah, it's all them Lascars and Chinese. They know what's the matter with the governor.
What are they doing? I don't understand.
It's best you don't know nothing about it, miss. But I'll tell you what. The doc's tried everything he knows, and what good has he done? There's only one way to save my governor. One of them Lascars. He's a witch doctor.
What?
Yeah. He says he'll do it.
Doctor, what is this? What are they doing?
Mrs. Hamlin.
What are they doing with that poor bird? Oh, my God.
You shouldn't be on the deck now, Mrs. Hamlin. It's long past midnight.
Doctor.
I can't stop them, Mrs. Hamlin. I've been unable to help that poor Irishman. You see, Mr. Gallagher is beyond the aid of normal medicine. They might perhaps help him in some way.
Well, I'm glad it's settled. Glad we're getting rid of the man. The captain decided to put in at Aden tomorrow and hand him over to the hospital people there. Your Mr. Gallagher was having the most terribly depressing effect on this cruise. What if he should die on Christmas Day, I said to the captain. Mrs. Hamlin. Well, what are you staring at, Mrs. Hamlin?
I think I can see land.
Yes. Well, yes, I do believe you're right. Oh, thank God for that.
Oh, miss. He started up in his bed and started to talk Malay. Called out her name. He struggled to get out of bed. He knew land was near. Perhaps he thought it was Galway. He's looking forward to going back to Galway, you know. And then he just fell back. That was when we sighted land, miss.
I'm sorry your idea didn't work.
We had to try everything, didn't we, miss?
Will you stay on board, Mr. Price?
No, I'll go ashore, Aden. I'll get drunk. If I'm too drunk to care, the ship can go on without me.
Mrs. Hamlin!
Oh, well, I'll be off now, miss. Thank you for being his friend. He needed friends.
Oh, Mrs. Hamlin.
Yes?
I thought I'd rescue you from that dreadful little man. Mrs. Hamlin! Where are you going?
I'm going to write a letter.
Really?
Mrs. Hamlin went down to her cabin. She took pen and paper as she had done that day in the harbour at Singapore. She wrote as she had done then, with one exception. This time, the words came easily.
I want to tell you that my heart is filled with kindly thoughts towards both of you. I have been foolish and unreasonable. I think we should allow those we care for to be happy in their own way. We should care for them enough not to let it make us unhappy. I grudge you none of the joy that has so unexpectedly come into your life. I am no longer jealous nor hurt nor vindictive.
That was P and O, the first in a series of six short stories by Somerset Maugham, dramatized for radio by David Buck. Hannah Gordon was Mrs. Hamlin, Miranda Forbes, Mrs. Mallet, Sean Barrett, Gallagher, John Hollis, Price, and James Bryce, the surgeon. The narrator was David Buck. The sound balance was by Dave Johnston. P and O was a BBC World Service drama production, directed by Walter Acosta.